All right, would you turn your Bible to John chapter 7, please? John chapter 7. This morning's title is, Do You Have Biblical Worldview? If our Lord Jesus Christ somehow decides that he's going to run for presidency of the United States, if he chooses to do that, he will not, I guarantee you that he will not be the nominee of the Republican Party. Certainly not the Democrat Party. Even if he chooses to run as an independent, liberal media will laugh at him. They will jeer at him. They will talk down on him and do all the things against him. I don't think that, I really don't think that, he will be able to win the general election. Those who call themselves Christian in the United States, I'm talking in general way. Many people call themselves Christian, including born-again Christians, will not vote for him because what he teaches them, what he tells them, are not what they want to hear. So they will say, hey, he has a too narrow mindset. After all, this is 21st century. Come on, who does he think he is? God? Why, yes, as a matter of fact, he is. See, people don't look at the things the way he wants us to look at. That's the biblical worldview. Let me define the biblical worldview. It is based on the infallible word of God. And when you believe the Bible is entirely true, then you allow it to be the foundation of everything you say and do. Amen. Did you get that? Let me repeat it one more time. This is extremely important. The biblical worldview is, it is based on the infallible word of God, not your opinion, not what you think it should be. When you believe the Bible is entirely true, then you allow it to be the foundation of everything you say and do. It means, for instance, believing that the absolute moral truth exists, not relative truth. And also it means that the Bible is totally accurate in all the principles it teaches. It means Satan is a demonic, a real demonic spiritual being which wants to destroy every single human being. And every person in the world, from beginning, Adam, to the everyone existing and will be existing, are sinful human beings. Are you with me on that? There's no one good, Bible says. And they cannot make their way to heaven with a good behavior or by being a good person. I know I'm telling you, your self-esteem is nothing. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. That's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ lived the sin, and what the biblical worldview says, Jesus Christ lived a sinless life on earth, and died for our sins, and rose again from the dead. And get this, guys, God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. Past, present, future, everywhere in the universe. And you say, that's not possible. Exactly. That's why he's God, you're not. Anyone who thinks that remotely you are a portion of God, you are in so wrong. I'm going to give you boring stats, but it is rude awakening. It's relatively old. In this, the 2009 Barna Research Group survey, anyone who held all of this biblical worldview was said to have a biblical worldview. Overall, this research revealed that only 9% of all American adults have a biblical worldview, labeled born-again Christians. The study discovered that there were twice as likely as the average adult to possess a biblical worldview. However, it meant that even among the born-again Christians, less than one out of every five, well, that means 19%, has such an outlook on life. In other words, we have about 100 people in here. Only 20 people staunchly believed what the Bible says. 80% will say, can we lower the standard a little bit? It's a rude awakening, isn't it? It might be different in here because you guys know where I'm standing. And you guys hear that kind of thing here day in, every Sunday, every Thursday. So people don't want to hear that kind of thing, usually don't stick around. And they go down somewhere, they can have their ears tickled. Of adults who attend the main, get this guys, this is really sad. Mainline Protestant church, only 2% share the biblical worldview. Among Catholic, less than one half of 1% had a biblical worldview. That means 0.5%. Not even 1%. The denomination that produced the highest proportion of adults with a biblical worldview were non-denominational Protestant churches with a 13%. Protestant, 10%. Baptist church. Upon comparing the perspectives of those who have a biblical worldview with those who do not, the former group were 31 times less likely to accept cohabitation, means living together, having sex before marriage, 18 times likely to endorse drunkenness, 15 times less likely to condone homosexual sex, and 12 times likely to accept the profanity, and 11 times less likely to describe adultery as morally acceptable. Do you think that this statistic got worse since 2009 or better? This morning, we are going to witness dialogue between Jesus Christ and the religious elites of that Israel. In Jerusalem, temple. And they are asking him about his credential. Though this religious ruler had their religion down pat, but they did not know anything about God, just like the majority of the people in this America and world. And that means they did not have a biblical worldview. And you may ask, you may wonder, why is it important? If you don't have a right biblical worldview, everything goes haywire, as we went through. The things we should uphold, the one of those hills that we should die on, and they all of a sudden become negotiable. Am I making sense? All right, let's stop and pray. Father, this is the time of compromising. This is the time of negotiating. We don't want to negotiate with the world. We want to only follow your word as it said. We don't want to water down. We don't want to lower our standard. Let us have that staunch heart, a royal heart to follow you. Uphold your word in our lives. Father, we don't want to live the life that we want. We want to live the life that honor you, because you are our God. You are our creator. You are the giver of our life. Teach us, anoint our heart to receive what you want us to receive. Anoint the one who speaks, that he may not speak his own word, but your word. Father, we are asking you to guide the entire service, that you alone receive honor and praise. Will you turn your Bible to chapter 7 of John, please? John chapter 7, verse 16. Chapter 7, verse 14. Now, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Would you note the word taught? And the Jews marveled in saying, how does this man know letters and having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine, would you note that word as well, doctrine, is not mine, but he who sent me. Stop there, please. When Jesus began to teach openly in the temple in Jerusalem, debate shifted from, you know, what he taught previously, and all of a sudden the religious elite, started to ask him about his credential, and then followed by doctrine. Jews was amazed when I said Jews or the Bible, often Jews is referring to, they are referring to the religious leaders. Sanhedrin, Pharisees, scribes, lawyers, all those people. They were amazed that he taught because he did not have a credential from any of their approved rabbi schools. Since he lacked the proper credentials, his enemy said that his teaching was nothing but the private opinion and ain't worth a whole lot. While the scribes and Pharisees taught by quoting other famous rabbis, Jesus taught from the authority of this book, Scripture, Old Testament Scripture. How does he know? Well, he wrote that book. In case they don't know, they didn't know, obviously. In other words, Jesus did not have a seminary degree or Bible college degree to be a Bible teacher in their mind. We see the same kind of situation in the book of Acts. Keep your finger in chapter 7. Go to Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4. It's right after John, so you don't have to go very far. Chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were uneducated, right? Uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that I want you to underline next phrase, they had been with Jesus. So important. So important. Peter and John stunned the group of Sanhedrin who were cream of the crop when it comes to the spiritual authority and knowledge of the Israel laws at that time. I'm not saying that going to seminary and Bible college is a waste of time. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go. If you have, listen to me please, if you have a call of God to be the Bible teacher, to be a pastor, by all means, if you can swing the money, if you can swing the time, go to Bible college online or go to seminary. But the most important thing is not to be a pastor or to be a Bible teacher. The most important thing is not the seminary degrees. It's not the Bible college degrees. It is the call of God. Do me a favor. If you think that you want to be a pastor or the Bible teacher, and you don't think that you are called by God, but you just want to, you know, think that, oh, he only works a couple hours a week. So I want to have that kind of job. You will be miserable. If you are not called by God, you will be miserable. And do yourself a favor and do other people a favor. Don't. Without the call of God, it means nothing to you. As a matter of fact, you can buy certificate of ordination from online for $25. I don't know what kinds of denomination would hand out the certificate of ordination to anyone who wants to purchase. But it's not the most important thing. If you think that pastor must have earthly credentials to teach the Word of God, you just disqualify Peter, John, and all the other apostles who are called by God Himself and given that position. As a matter of fact, you just disqualify Jesus. There were occasions I was doing the Bible study in Rio Rico, believe. No, it was too bad. I wasn't sure whether the Lord wants us to have another Bible study going or not. But we tried it. It wasn't. But when they found out that I did not have a Bible college degree or seminary degree, their jaw dropped. Surprise. And they said, okay, we are not going to have a Bible study anymore. Good. I don't want to teach you if you the little piece of paper that matters to you that much. Okay, this is a great time for you to exit if you think that I'm not worthy to teach the Bible. I don't have a squat to tell you. Squat to show you. I don't never been in a Bible college, not even close to a Bible college or seminary. But I have a call of God. And you may say, would you learn to teach the Bible? At the feet of Jesus. I've been with Jesus. That's all. Do you know there are some Christians who think that doctrine of Christianity, like some eight-letter dirty cuss word, to understand what Jesus wants us to learn, we need to get the meaning from this Greek in Greek word. The Greek word for taught is didasko, and doctrine is didake. Do you see the resemblance in those two words? It came from the same Greek root word. The definition of doctrine is teaching or instruction. Some of them insist, I am not into doctrine, I'm just into Jesus. Good for you. But Jesus was into doctrine. If he was into doctrine, you better be into doctrine. Or theology, also known as. Theology means the study of God. Have you noticed that we are going through much deeper when it comes to the book of John? It's much deeper than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Because it speaks more about doctrines in this gospel than the other three. Why would you think the rest of what would you think the rest of the New Testament is? All the epistles by the apostles. They are doctrines. Book of Romans and Ephesians, they are two pinnacles of the doctrine or the theology of the Christianity. Jesus wants us to know and build a solid foundation in our heart instead of a bunch of fancy spiritual decoration stuff that might make you feel religious for yourself. If a Christian say, I don't care about the Christian doctrine, it is same for you to, for the person to say, I don't care about what the God the Father speak to me. At the beginning of this study, I gave you the survey of the from the Barna Group. Do you know why such a low percentage of born-again Christians have a biblical worldview? It is because they don't have the necessary knowledge of the Bible. They choose not to know, or they will never be taught properly from the pulpit. And you say, what do you mean not taught from the pulpit? Some of the pastors are literally guilty of not teaching the word. Listen to me, please. If the pastor chooses not to teach the whole truth from the Bible, they are same thing as neglecting the word and abusing the word and teaching their own doctrine. Hosea 4:6, I quote this often to you guys. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. Do you know the biggest group of the converts from Christian to Mormons are the Southern Baptists? Well, but then again, some of the Southern Baptists are the biggest group. Because they were not grounded in the Word of God, and they just have a mampy-pampy, a little small Bible knowledge, and they're thinking that when the Mormon people come, or Jehovah's Witness people come along, and then when they talk to them, oh yeah, that makes sense. Sign here. Okie dokie. Unfortunately, there are many Christian churches who do not teach the Word of God. On Sunday morning, they give a sermonette for 15 minutes. Make them feel good. Encourage them. I can't even clear my throat in 15. As a pastor, it is my hope and prayer that you become the best fed sheep and best loved sheep in the world. And you say, that's not going to happen because you are not the best teacher. I know I'm not the best teacher, but the Holy Spirit who speaks through me. I don't want you to hear what I tell you. I want you to hear what the Holy Spirit tells you through this book. And we are trying to get into the foreign language, Greek, where they were beaten pieces, even the Hebrews, and keep them all in context so that we can get the background and customs to understand what the Bible is telling us. As we go through the entire Bible, we learn what He wants us to learn. Whole counsel of the Word of God. Go to verse 17, please. If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks glory of the one who sent him is true. But no unrighteousness is in him. Satan tempted Adam and Eve with the knowledge. But it was the knowledge based on disobedience and pride. Go to Genesis chapter 3, please. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Satan is speaking to the Adam and Eve. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. So what did the Adam and Eve thought? Oh, we're going to be like God. Dandy. Heck with what God says. Pride. Disobedience. Are you with me on that? However, Jesus offered knowledge as the result of obedience. Say it with me. Obedience. Say it again. Obedience. The responsibility and the joy of knowing God's truth. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, one of my favorite British preachers of the yesteryear, said it perfectly. When men are wholly, completely consecrated to the will of God and want to do that above everything else, then they find out that Christ's teaching is what? Divine. That it is the teaching of. If we really seek God's will, then we will not worry over who gets the glory. God alone deserves glory for what He has taught us. No teachers or preachers can take the credit for what only can come from God. If preacher goes after the glory, then it's a proof that it is not from the Lord, it is from him. That's how cults start. Some of the Christian, quote-unquote, Christian TV station program says, I know it's not in the Bible, but Jesus came to me last night and showed me this revelation. He had a bad burrito. If it's not in this Bible, ignore it. Only the Word of God. In context, are you with me? You take it out of context, you can make your own cult. If it's generated by his own, it's not from God. That is the reason I do not copyright my own teaching. It's all on our church website for anyone to download. I don't want money. I don't understand why any preacher wants to sell their sermon for money. It didn't come from them if they're really from God, right? So if they got it for free, why shouldn't they give it out for free? And they think, well, it's my book. Really? Did you get it all by yourself? And if it says, yeah, then must not be from God. I love the way Billy Graham encountered this one particular guy. He was flying to somewhere, and one drunk in the plane said, I want to meet Billy Graham. And he said, one of his converts. So he insists his way, so finally the students came to Dr. Graham and said, Dr. Graham, would you just talk to him so he can go to sleep? So Dr. Graham graciously got up and went to this man. He said, Billy, I'm one of your converts. He said, you must be. If you are one of God's converts, you wouldn't do what you do. If it's from the Lord, if the teaching is from the Lord, the pastors, preachers, Bible teachers, you give them out. If it's not from the Lord, don't even post it. The Jewish leaders were attempting to murder Jesus and deceive others, yet at the same time they claimed to understand the God's truth and obey them. Obviously, they did not get the 6th and 9th commandment of the 10 commandments. And for your convenience, I list them. Verse 13 of chapter 20 in the book of Exodus. You shall not murder. It did not say you shall not kill. Okay? You got that? There's a difference between kill and murder. Those who are against the execution of the criminal said, thou shalt not kill. It's from the Bible. At the same time, they don't have a problem killing baby with abortion. That's a murder. Execution is killing the one who deserves. Verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That means don't lie through your teeth. This proves that enlightened, educated mind is no guarantee of a pure heart or sacred will. Some of the worst criminal in the world are the highly educated and highly intelligent people. During my prison ministry, I met some really smart convicts. And I wonder, you know all this, why are you here? Amazes me. Back to chapter 7, verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keep the law? Why do you seek to kill me? The people answered and said, you have a demon. Who is seeking to kill? They were lying through tears there again. Jesus answered, said to them, I did one work, you are all marveled. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on Sabbath so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I made a man completely well on Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with the righteous judgment. Did you get that? Judge with the righteous judgment. And I know some of you thought about this. Don't judge me. You will not be judged in the Bible. That's not a blanket statement. We studied that portion. With the judgment you judge, you will be judged. You got to keep it in context. Verse 19 is a serious indictment against the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes at that time, who are so religious and pious in their own mind. They were going through the motion of religious rituals, but their hearts were very far from God. Do you know someone who is a religious, but they are anything but godly? Do you know them? I'm sure you can name the few. Here is an apparent contradiction. The ancients were so strictler when it comes to the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath. They did nothing. They thought that if you do anything on Sabbath, it's work. However, since the baby is born any time they want, right? And then the time is done, then they're ready to come out. But sometimes 8 days from the birth date falls on the Sabbath. Then what? To Jewish people, circumcision is so important, they are willing to ignore that no work on Sabbath. They are willing to do circumcision on Sabbath. They said, it's okay. But Jesus healing man who was crippled, that's no, because it's healing is work. On Sabbath, if the cow or oxen fall into the ditch, and it's okay for them to pull the ox or cow out of the ditch. That's okay. Saving life is important. So saving the life of a cripple is not okay. The reason why it's not okay is because Jesus, not act of healing. Am I making sense? They're trying to kill Jesus so much because he pointed out their facade and their deception. And where was I? Let me say this very clear to you. Religion is harmful. Let me say one more time. Religion is harmful. Religion sends more people to hell than anything else because it gives a false sense of security. It gives a false sense of security. Some of you might be wondering, isn't the Christianity a religion? According to government, according to media, according to unbelievers, it is a religion. But to us, it is a glorious life in Jesus Christ. It is a relationship with Him as His brothers in Christ, as a child, as a children of God the Father. Father of socialism and communism, Karl Marx said this, religion is the opiate of the masses. I agree with him on that. According to one statistic, the 86% and more of the 7 billion people on earth are religious, including Christianity. Like I said, it's a government statistic. Though millions and billions of people might be religious seriously, not all of them will go to heaven because they have their own definition of religion. Like a Jewish religious leaders. Anyone who has a religion in his heart cannot have a right biblical worldview because he doesn't have right relationship. I heard the definition and I think it explains this very well. Religion is, just look at, read this, okay? Religion is my approach to God on my own term and my own idea of who God is, my own idea of how good God is, my own idea of how I can choose to worship if I feel like it, and my own idea of what God needs to do for me above everybody else. So who is the main point of this idea of religion? Me, mine. Yeah. There was only one religion that God ever gave to man. It's Judaism. From Exodus to Deuteronomy, God shows his religious system to the Jews. The reason the Lord gave this Judaism to them is for Jesus to fulfill it in every aspect, since man could not and would not. Matthew 5:17, please. Three books before. Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy it, but to what? Fulfill. You see, Old Testament law was to show us we cannot make our way to heaven with our own religion. Okay, this time go to Romans. Turn to right past the book of Acts. Then you will go to Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deed of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of the law, Old Testament law, reveals that we are doomed without Jesus. Some of you may wonder, why God wanted Israel to have a circumcision? Let me explain. God made a covenant with Adam in Genesis 17. The sign of the covenant was a circumcision. Although this was a proposed outward fleshly circumcision in the Old Testament, Jesus came and made another covenant with mankind which does not require outward physical sign. This new covenant is based on placing faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to be born again. Simple faith in Jesus Christ, we receive His forgiveness, and that is the sign from God. When we place faith in Christ, the Bible teaches us that we are circumcised in our heart. In our heart. The old spiritual heart is taken out and the new one is placed in. The Old Testament outward circumcision is a symbolic of what was to come. Am I making sense? Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and you are completely in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11. In Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Here's a great point, guys. Are you with me? Look at the verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism, in which you are also raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. As we are going to have a baptism of the several people today, when I put that person underwater, it symbolizes dying with the Christ. As I pull them up, it's resurrection from the dead with Christ. Baptism would not save you. Are you with me? If you think that baptism will save you, you got it totally wrong. You just got wet. That's all. With the clothes on. Three applications. Number one, we should not neglect the learning sound doctrine of Christianity because they come from God the Father through the Holy Spirit. Second application, a biblical worldview only comes from the deep and obedient relationship with our Savior. It's not a profound theology. It's just simple thing. You do what God tells you to do, and you get to have a biblical worldview. Thirdly, religion is what? Again, religion is to our spirit. What we desire should be a deeper work with our Savior Jesus every day through what? Amen.